It's good to be with you this morning for worship. Thank you for joining us here in person and those of you that are worshiping with us online. We're glad that you're here. You'll find in your bulletin, as always, a connection card. We encourage all of you to take a moment to fill that out at some point during worship. It helps us stay connected to one another. There are some next step opportunities listed on the back, too. It also works as a great way, too, for those of us that might give our offering, our financial offering, online. It's a good part of worship to be able to place an offering in the plate, and so you can use it for that good work, too. So we encourage you to fill that out and place an offering plate later as it comes by in worship. We have a lot of things happening over the next few weeks. Next Sunday, we hope that you'll be with us in worship where Paul will be dedicating Oliver Duke, and so we hope you are here for that. And then after worship, we'll be celebrating Christine and Jeff and the baby on the way. Christine, here's Christine. We're going to have we do a baby celebration. It's been a minute since we've had one. We'll be in the fellowship hall after worship with a chance to offer our love and support, and we'll pray a special blessing over them as they get ready for their baby to come the end of July, maybe early August, depending on when that baby decides to show up. So you'll see in your bulletin a link if you'd like to offer a gift to Christine and Jeff. We'll be celebrating them after worship next week. And then, as you know, we're moving towards our June 16 date of Paul's last Sunday with us before he retires. We hope that you'll be with us for worship that day and also a celebration afterwards in the fellowship hall following. So we hope that you will mark that day and be with us in worship. And then, as you may have seen in written communication and also heard from Paula, we are having our interim Rick Mixon will be joining us on October 1st, but he will be coming for a visit before then. On June 30, our intentional interim will be joining us during that week. He'll be attending our staff and board retreat that's happening on Wednesday, and then he'll be here to lead worship on Sunday morning on the 30th. So lots of important worship time together as a church family, and so we hope that you will join us for all those good times together. And now, I invite you to take a big deep breath. We do this with the children. In through your nose and out through your mouth as we enter into worship. Take a deep breath through your nose. And out through your mouth. Let's do it one more time. You hear I'm used to working with children. One more big time for you too. In through your nose. And out through your mouth. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Let us worship together now.
If you are able, please stand. Almighty and merciful God, into your loving presence we bring our hopes and our fears, our joys and our sorrows. In your goodness, help us hear your words and strengthen our faith, that we, being ready both in mind and body, may accomplish with free hearts those things which belong to your purpose. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Spirit, where can I flee from your presence?
If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I lay my head in Sheol, you are there.
If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, and the light around me become night.
Even the darkness is not dark to you, and the night is bright as the day.
Thank you. We hear now a reading from the Apostle Paul from 2 Corinthians 4. We do not proclaim ourselves. We proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who said, "Light will shine out of darkness," who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. But we have this treasure in clay jars, so that it may be made clear that this extraordinary power belongs to God and does not come from us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be made visible in our bodies. For we who are living are always being handed over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus may also be made visible in our mortal flesh. So death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. The word of the Lord.
Friends, we're going to start with a game. So I'm going to ask, can you guys scoot to the sides of this board? Does anybody recognize what this board is? Keep coming over here, James. You're going to come on this side. Tic-tac-toe. Do we use our toes?
No. Oh,
we're going to use some toes. We have some helpers here who are going to play this game of tic-tac-toe for us. Emery, I'm going to have you do one more scooch towards me. Can you guys, James, you two, scoot towards me a little bit more. Okay, look, we have teenagers and Valerie, and they're going to play tic-tac-toe, but they're going to play kind of a racing tic-tac-toe. Are you ready? Let's watch it. You know who's going first on each of your sides? Okay. Be careful of the communion table. Be careful of the children. All right. On your mark. Get set. Go. Let's see. Okay. Oh, oh. Who's going to? Oh, go. Keep, go. Are they going to do it? Oh, ha, oh, oh, oh. Who do you think got it? Green or blue? What do you think? You think the blue or the green? Oh, I think it was a tie, maybe. That was amazing. Good work. You guys are fast. All right, teenagers, you may have a seat. Oh, good. Okay. Whoa. Have you ever seen a running tic-tac-toe game happen? Hey, they did teamwork. They worked together, just like we do here at church. We work together here at church to make things happen. And we don't do it because we say, "Hey, look at me. I was the acolyte today." Or do we say, "Hey," did Miss Cat say, "look at me, I am the reader today." And then did she bow? No. We do all of this work, teamwork together, because we are wanting to come together to celebrate God's love, to share God's love, to feel God's love. So we do some teamwork together. Okay. Now, look. You may have seen something different when you walked in. Did you see a whole bunch of tic-tac-toe boards when you walked into church today? In the hallway. Today, we are doing what we call a sign-up Sunday. And there are all kinds of ministry jobs. None of them say, "Can you run during time as children?" But sometimes we ask you to do that. There are ministry jobs outside. To read like Miss Cat did. Or to acolyte like Salem and Liam did. or to help serve communion, or to help serve the snacks. All kinds of jobs, and all ages can do the jobs. Kids are readers here, teenagers are acolytes here, and all ages of grown-ups help with all kinds of things. So here's your challenge. After church today, we're going to invite you to make a tic-tac-toe. There are stickies out there with dates. We're hoping that we'll get all these jobs together, because together we are the church, and we are going to help have worship to honor God, to celebrate God's love, and we all work together. Then look, when your household gets a tic-tac-toe, guess what you get? Tic-tacs! Oh, come on, it's fun to have a little prize, too. Yeah, so after church, we'll do this together. We'll work as a team to be ready to have worship happen all summer long. What do teams sometimes do at the end of a game?
Help each other.
They help each other, and then they do a high five. Can we do a high five? Find somebody next to you to do a high five. Say, let's go, team.
Let's go.
Yeah. Can we do a high five? Let's go, team. Yes. Good. James, let's go, team. Way to go, Emery. Let's go, team. Oh, yeah. All right. Let's do it. We're going to head up to church school together. Let's remember, before we do that, can you put your hand up like you're doing a high five to God? Now maybe in front of you, because God's in front of you too. Yeah. Hey, God, we want to be partners with you so that we can know your love and share your love and feel your love all summer long. Thank you that we are part of this church family, this church team that works together. Okay, can you do a big high five up to the sky for amen? Amen. All right, let's head to church school together.
Let's pray together. Most gracious God, you inhabit the pain of the world as you also delight in the joys of your children. And in our love you dwell, you live. We do not always perceive you, as our senses are dull and distracted, but your Spirit dwells in all creation and with us. Help us then to sing with your Spirit and to groan with your Spirit and wholeheartedly to love as your Spirit loves. Help us to put away our indifference and our pretending. By your love, help us to confess our sins, to pray with sincerity, to speak only what is true, and to open our minds and hearts more fully to your compassion, your guidance, and your command. We pray for people everywhere who suffer mental anguish or other great pain. Bless them in their need for physical, mental, relational wholeness. We pray for people who do not feel understood, and for those who feel abandoned by family or friends or by society at large. May this church be a source of welcoming and healing care for all. Grant us to be discomforted by what should discomfort us. And give us, we pray, a keener and deeper discernment of how to do better at what you call us to do. We pray now once more for the people of Gaza and for the people and for the end of the slaughter there. We pray for the people of Ukraine and for the people of Sudan. And we pray for these, for the family and friends of Judith Armstrong, for Nancy Foster, Bob Reynolds, Mervyn Ucart, David Gregg, Esther Floyd, Betty Gersler, Marilyn Marsh, Bill Nummy, Helga Mortensen, John Milbourn, Peg and Joe Bradford, Catherine Carty, Keith Maurer, John Rowe, and Faye Key, Grange Burside, the Sanford family, Mike Kelly, the McLeod family. And now in silence, we offer our personal prayers. Now into your merciful hands we commit all our yearning, all our fears, and all our need for a greater and truer faith. We pray in the name of Jesus, our Lord. Amen. If we are to give a perfect description of what human beings are, part of our answer would have to be that humans are capable of terrible cruelty. Yet we would also have to say that humans are capable of astonishing beauty, outwardly and inwardly, kindness, compassion, creativity, love. But a third thing can be said about what a human being is like, and this is that people are weird. We are bumbling and quirky, frequently forgetting what we already knew, saying stuff that makes no sense at all, having ideas that are wacky, personalities full of contradictions, eccentricities, and foibles. And I'm of the opinion that none of us will really grow up until we acknowledge and embrace the truth that we are ridiculous. I'm happy to offer myself as Exhibit A. If you attend worship here very often, you have seen me mess up over and over and over again. I stand up at the wrong time, sit down at the wrong times. I lose my pages. I do things in the wrong order. I forget names. I let my stole fall off. Once when Stacy and I were doing our walking benediction, it went off the rails. And I just stopped and twirled around with my arms lifted a little like an old Jewish wedding dance. I thought, might as well. Somebody here once called me a holy fool, and I figured he was half right. More than once, I've been told, we love the way you screw up. Makes the service feel so human. You are welcome. I doubt that Jesus was a klutz. But don't you think at least once he tripped over his own sandals? Or accidentally called Philip Bartholomew? And had a good laugh at himself. Otherwise, how could he be the Word made actual flesh? We can say he was without sin and still imagine that sometimes, like the rest of us, he showed some wonderfully human imperfections. That would make him truly the incarnation. Jesus could slip on a banana peel just like the rest of us. The Apostle Paul had an even worse time of such oddness. Not only was he far from being sinless, there were things about him, not his fault, that made him laughable to some. They called it weakness. What was that? Well, in the first place, Paul apparently wasn't much to look at. An early Christian book describes him as short, bald, bow-legged, hollow-eyed, with eyebrows that met in the middle. That's right. With me, you get 3 out of 5. Short, bald, and they also said he had a large nose. Plus, there was something medically wrong with him. We don't know what it is, but it was observable, and people drew their conclusions. And what is more, Paul was apparently a poor speaker. There were some who said, he writes with so much strength, but he's not much to listen to when he is present. Paul did persuade many people to believe in the good news, but some, when they saw him and heard him, found him ridiculous and said, God would not make anybody an apostle who is this messed up. And apparently it didn't bother him. In fact, he took some pleasure in it. And I think he may have been smiling when he wrote, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. That's the old translation. A better one now might be, I've got treasure in me. It's just carried in a clay pot of what I am. Like anybody else, I'm a two-legged mortal made up of clay, just dirt, dense, slick, dirt, earthy, moldable, collapsible, and sometimes usable, though easily scarred, imperfect, or chipped away. But the main thing isn't the clay. The main thing is the treasure that is held by clay. Dear friends, that is a word to override our embarrassment with ourselves, our embarrassment over our failings and insecurities. To know this deep down is to find a fantastic freedom in our living. We are free to be imperfect and flawed, and even to have some gladness about that. We're free to be sinners, knowing that it's sinners who carry the gospel, free also to allow everybody else to be sinners. Free also not to bemoan our misshapen selves. There I went again. This doesn't mean, of course, it doesn't mean that we don't want to be better and seek to be better and help each other be better. What it does not mean is that you and I are stuck with the life we're in until we are better. And if you don't get much better, you're still all good to go. You don't have to be golden, just a lifted cup. We don't have to become treasure, just carry the treasure by God's grace is within us. Which is also to say, there's no more reason to hide your weakness, to stand behind your weakness as a hiding place, waiting until you become someday better. There is no reason now to postpone living fully into your purpose as you now understand it. Your life is right now, as it really is. Your imperfect clay vessel can do just fine holding the treasure and bearing it into your world. Just fine. And we do this with no need to pretend we're something we are not. The Spirit pours love's treasure like liquid light into anyone who will open for it, which means the particular shape of any life is the right shape for the gospel to take. If light fills a vessel, then the light has taken exactly the shape of the vessel that's holding it. So there is no need to bemoan that your life is misshapen here and flawed there and scarred or bent in this way or that. For the brightness of the poured out good news takes the shape that you actually are. And what you have known as a flaw in your clay becomes a kind of cradle for divine love to abide in as the light shines ultimately from what the shape of our lives really is. What you have felt and cursed as your peculiar crookedness can ultimately become your peculiar brightness. Turns out your weakness is not a shame. It is a vessel. And because the weakness and vulnerability of our clay are not the thing, but the treasure is the thing, then we are in ourselves beyond any ultimate defeat. And we can say with Paul, we are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. We are perplexed, but not driven to despair. We are persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed. Others may harm us. The news may injure us. We may do ourselves unfortunate harm. That is the clay. The treasure shines on, gleams on, unending. That is what matters. And that is why we are undefeated. My fellow children of the clay, could we first agree to stop taking ourselves so seriously? And then can we just lift up our lives like a clay cup to be filled with the light of infinite love? And then together lift up a church of clay to be so flooded and filled with nothing but good news. And that being done, let each of us willingly, gratefully, gladly bear the treasure of the light, and let our life together bear it beautifully. Let each of us have the good sense to laugh at ourselves and to be dumbfounded that our clay is entrusted with God's own great treasure. With thanksgiving, we now make our offerings to the love of God. Christ invites everyone to this table. Therefore, let us set aside all that would keep us from it and acknowledge what is our sinfulness and our need and our gratitude to come and partake. Will you pray with me our prayer of confession? Most merciful God, we confess that I have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, to what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with all our heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of God. Amen. Friends, hear the good news. God in Christ has brought to us a new way of living by the grace of God. We are forgiven. We are a new creation. Thanks be to God. Amen. As a sign of peace and reconciliation, may we extend to each other the peace of Christ, the best of gifts. Will you stand and pass the peace? May the peace of Christ be with you. In the beginning, God made all things and called them good. Then from the dust of the earth, God created humankind and breathed into us the breath of life. When we turned away and our love failed, God's love remained steadfast. In love, in the fullness of time, God sent the Beloved. God's grace through him, through his teaching and living and dying and rising, gave birth to the church. We are glad parts of it and glad parts of the Christ who lives. On the night when he gave himself for us, he took bread, he blessed it, and broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this as often as you eat it in remembrance of me." the body of Christ, the bread of heaven.
In the same way, after the meal, Jesus took the cup. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to his friends and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. For as often as you do this, do it in remembrance of me." The blood of Christ, the cup of love. We pray with me. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and cup which we have received in gratitude. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world. Until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit and your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty God, now and forever. Amen.
The offering plates that will be at the door give us opportunity to participate in what is called one great hour of sharing. An offering toward support of American Baptist mission efforts throughout this nation to connect with and help meet the needs of people in need. Let us give from our gladness. Would you stand now for the hymn of fellowship?
Thank you.
And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May God's own face shine upon you and give you every grace. Grace never to sell yourself short. Grace to give something big for something good. Grace to know that the world is too small for anything but love and too dangerous for anything but truth. So may Christ take your minds and think through them. May Christ take your lips and speak through them. May Christ take your hearts and set them on fire. Amen.